Everybody here, let's just raise up our Bibles. And if you got a Bible, raise it up. Let me see it. I want to see all the Bibles, the cell phones. I can't believe all you gray-haired folk got a phone. How can y'all even see those things? I know, I see it down there. You can make it bigger, yeah, yeah. Amplified, for sure. Amen. I want y'all to turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians. All you that are watching us, and by the way, so many people watch. They may not watch it live. They might tap into it in about an hour from all over. I always see your messages, and I want you to keep writing. Let us know where you're watching from. It's an honor that you would, even when you travel, when you're not at your home church or not at this one, you can watch us live. And so thank you for being here. Colossians chapter 1. Now, as I was preparing for this week, I have no notes. I mean, you know, most preachers kind of have an outline. And not a lot of times I don't, but most of the time I have the subject. I'm ready to preach something. But this morning, I ain't got a clue where we're going to go. But how many of you know that that's the best way to be? Because the Bible says if we're sons and daughters of God, we're to be led by the Spirit of God. So I want you to be in agreement that you would just, whatever you want to receive from what we're fixing to read, whatever revelation comes from this, that you would get it in Jesus' name. I mean, this is not another dead church service. This is God wanting to speak to you and us to be led by His Spirit. And I'm telling you, if we're that way, watch what happens in this place this morning. I mean, God's going to speak to you some mighty, mighty things if you'll have the hearts to receive it right now. Say amen to that. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, Timotheus, our brother, to the saints. Now, the saints are all of us that are born again. Amen. And don't let that mess you up, okay? You are a saint, but you're a son and you're a daughter of the Most High God. You always have to understand that, because most people in Christianity, when they give their lives to the Lord, sometimes don't really get the full knowledge of who they are in Christ. And that's why, again, I've been preaching for, 18 years of this church, trying to teach people who they are in Christ Jesus so that they don't constantly get whooped by the devil. The devil is just a fallen angel that was not made in God's image. He was a created being, thank God for angels. But that devil that got kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be God is just an angel that you have dominion over. The devil's supposed to be under your feet because of the Jesus that lives on the inside of you. Okay? So always keep that in mind, that even though you are a saint, you serve. You know, we're just servants of the Lord. That's a great, great, great thing. But don't stop it there. See yourself as a son and daughter of God. Because when you do, then you got rights. And you take those rights. You're an heir of God. You are someone. You don't have to just be, I'm not worthy of anything, and that's your mentality. No, no, no. You are a son and a daughter of God. And you have the right to speak this word. You have the right to declare things in your life. You have the right to tell that devil to get out. I told someone the other day that how you handle a trial and tribulation, matter of fact, it'll probably come out in this word, but how you handle things is how you come out of things. All right? So here's the apostle, the will of God, the brother Timotheus, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. So that's talking about believers, right? Which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God, Paul says, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, how many of you know that's a good thing to know, that people actually are praying for you? I can't tell you how much I appreciate when people pray for me as a pastor of this church, especially traveling. When I'm out there, wow. I mean, just the attacks that, because the devil doesn't want me or you or anybody else out there trying to get people won over to Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, our country is kind of going away from Christianity, right? I mean, you see it all over. Get made fun of. I get a little ticked off sometimes because here I am, you know, here schools are, you know, allowing furries to come in. And most people don't even know about that stuff, where they want to be a cat or a dog. And teachers are having to deal with that stuff, and we're being taught all this junk that they're teaching our children. And of course, America, because of COVID, is waking up, right? And they're starting to see what the school systems are actually teaching our children. And here they are teaching all of this junk and inclusiveness stuff, and then they won't even let Christianity be taught. They took our Bible out, remember? And here I thought we were supposed to be inclusive and being taught all this stuff, and they won't even listen to our belief system, see? All right, I better get back up here. All right, so check things out. We're going to be praying for each other. And so keep that in mind. Thank God for we have people praying. Verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you've heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. So see some things in this. We desperately need hope today. Hope in Jesus Christ. Because probably if we did a little testimony time, we would have people come step up and testify of some stuff that they're going through right now. And your only hope is going to be in the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and brings forth, say that word with me, fruit. That's why you need to always bring a Bible to church. You've got to see this stuff. Fruit is a good thing, y'all. Matter of fact, I had a decision to make at Stephenville, Texas, at the rodeo on Saturday. I'd just run my first steer, tied him down decent, I had to push him down. I was like 14 seconds on, or 13 seconds on the steer. And so it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I had just eaten a burrito or something. I ran my second steer, and I was a tough steer. I was like 14 seconds. I was 28 seconds on too. So I go up to the concession stand, and I had a decision to make. I could either grab the Snickers bar or the banana. Guys, God is my witness, I chose the banana. Come on, give it to me. Come on. Because normally, I'm taking the Snickers, you know. But I chose the banana. And I got to thinking about that when here the Apostle Paul is desiring for everybody to have fruit and how good fruit is to us. That's why there's a whole section that I've ministered on called the fruit of the Spirit. And how the fruit of the Spirit, and how the Spirit of God would use fruit as a good thing when he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's amazing because the fruit of the Spirit is good for you like the actual fruit was good for me. Fruit, love, that's the fruit of the Spirit, right? I mean, all these things like patience and long-suffering, I mean, which is patience. I mean, fruit is very good, and God's wanting us to have fruit in our life. Now, to finish the story, after I ate the banana and felt really good, I needed to be really fast on the third steer to win some money in the average. And I was. I was 10-1 and 1 second in the round. I ended up placing the average. I believe it was because of the banana. Anyway, sounds good. So verse 6 is saying, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, it brings forth fruit, and it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, talking about the truth, the word of truth of the gospel, and knew the grace of God in truth. Verse 7. So as you learned of Epaphras, or whatever that name is, John would say that name with a little roll of the tongue, probably. Our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. There again, someone's praying. So I think it's really important that we're lifting up our brothers and sisters. And I don't know about you, but I need someone constantly being in agreement prayerfully about this church, about, you know, just the things of my life. I want you to be in agreement. So to always have that spirit that wants to pray for people. And to desire that you might be filled, here we go, with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. How many of you know that it's very important in these days to have an urgency to want to gain more knowledge of God? Not just putting on a helmet of salvation and hopefully going to heaven when you die, or having that hope, because you'll make heaven, but having more of the knowledge of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, with the will that God's wanting us to have, He's wanting us to tap into His will, it's going to require you to gain more knowledge. And in gaining more knowledge, you're going to get more wisdom and spiritual understanding. We need that today, y'all. We need to know how to handle things. As I was saying earlier, when you want to get through a trial and tribulation without building a tent in the middle of it and staying in this tough time for a long period of time, you're going to have to get some wisdom on how to do it. I told a cowboy, how you handle things is how you come out of it. And this cowboy, we was in Seminole on Friday at the last rodeo of the year. In October starts a brand new year for 2023, even though it's not 2023 yet. The rodeos are completely over at the end of this month, and anybody that is in the top 15 money-wise is the ones that make the national finals. And there's a boy that was 15th, but he was behind by $14. Well, as it turned out this last weekend, there were two boys right under him that were winning. And it seemed like everything went wrong with this one cowboy. I mean, he would rope a steer, and he would almost get to him, and he'd get up, and it would be a no time. Or he would tie the steer really fast to place in the go-around and win money, and the steer would kick loose, and it would be a no time. And I mean, he was like, I mean, I could just see him in his mind crying out to something. Why is this happening? And so I went to him at the very last rodeo, and I knew he had just roped a steer, and he roped him fast, and the steer kicked loose. Well, it come to the third go-around, and he had to win the round to make the national finals. And I went to him, and I said, hey, I know you've been going through some tough things here lately, but how you handle these things right now, no matter what happens, is how you'll come out better next year. Well, he jumped out there and was 9-3. But then another cowboy jumped out there and was 9-1. And I just watched him. Then there was one cowboy that he was in And he could have got bumped out, and he jumped out there and was 9'6". And then another one was 9. I mean, it just got tougher and tougher and tougher. And I watched this cowboy who I just had ministered to, and I told him again, how you handle things right now is how things are going to happen for your life tomorrow. How are you going to handle adversity now? Because, see, most people don't handle adversity really good. And that's why you stay in that trial and tribulation for a long period of time. Matter of fact, you remember the word when it says the devil is roaming, seeking whom he may devour, right? Because he's looking for people that he can make mad, because they'll stay mad. He wants to ruin your day. And the ones that handle things correctly, the ones that count it all joy, the ones that don't let their tempers flare, the ones that handle defeat and not blow up and get so angry that they do stuff that they shouldn't do, say things that they shouldn't say, those are the ones that are the overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You see, here God is trying to tell us we need more wisdom and spiritual understanding. We need to know how to handle things in these last days so that we're not defeated by a fallen foe, a devil. We need to know and gain more knowledge of who we are in Christ Jesus. What is the will of God in our life? I mean, are we just a little unworthy worm just trying to make it through this life, allowing the enemy to attack us over and over and over and over? Or are we going to take the authority that God gave us, the dominion that we've talked about the last few weeks, the dominion that we have as a believer in Jesus Christ because of the anointing of the Lord? Are we going to want to gain more wisdom, or are we just coming to church to feel good, but then lose it when we leave the gates of Harvest Ranch? And God's saying here in the Colossians first chapter that we need to know the will of God and gain, be filled with it, the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Look at verse 10. And let me finish my story, because that cowboy ended up 16th. I mean, it was just... But you know what? The bigger lesson is, how is he going to handle things? I mean, y'all all know me. I battled out there for a long time. I mean, win a beautiful buckle at Cheyenne, Wyoming. Things were doing wonderful. I rode a bucking horse at the first of the year. I mean, he would buck, buddy. I would win the first go around, and he would buck your butt off in the second round. Can I say butt in church? Anyway, just came out, but I mean, you never knew what he's going to do. It's such a good horse. And spent a lot of money on the thing. But I couldn't handle in my mind, what is that horse going to do on the next go-around? And so I got rid of him. You know, there's a time you get some wisdom. I don't know about you other gray-haired folk, but a 53-year-old man does not need to be bucked off a lot. At 20, we could handle it a little more. But praise God, I ended up 25th in the world, and you know what? There's a new year. Amen. Am I going to be defeated because I didn't accomplish what I wanted to accomplish? Absolutely not. I'm going to handle these things. But really, what was I out there to do anyway? Minister to that cowboy. Amen. See, that's the whole goal. My son, me and Seth were talking, coming back from a cow sale yesterday in Hamilton. And man, I've been wanting this. You parents know, I've been wanting this so bad, where I can just get deep in the Word of God with my son, because I believe he's a preacher. I believe he's a called man of God. I mean, he ought to be going into the footsteps of his daddy, because that's what we should be doing. And, well, here the questions start. and we start talking about, you know, creation and why would God allow and create a devil, a Satan, as a beautiful angel that was a worship leader, have the ability to think he was God. And I was able to just minister, and man, we just began to get deep. And he was asking questions that I wasn't expecting a 16-year-old would ask. And he was saying, Dad, I love talking about this stuff. And I'm like, you do? Seriously? I mean, I wanted to stop the truck and do some cartwheels real fast. I mean, yes! That's what I've been praying for, praise God. I want you to gain more knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus, because he's a born-again boy. He's got a good voice. He could sing. He sang up here before, if y'all been here long enough. But now, you know, I can't get him up here as easily. And boy, he started talking about things, and I began to give him more revelation knowledge about who he is in Christ Jesus. Man, that's a heart for a dad like you can't imagine unless you are one, you see. So we need this spiritual understanding, verse 10, so that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Here it is again, being fruitful in every good work. You know what that word fruitful literally means in the Greek and the Hebrew? The blessing of the Lord. That God wants us to have the blessing of the Lord all the time, so that we can be fruitful in every good work. Everything your hand touches, God wants you to have fruit and be blessed. The enemy on the other side wants you to be defeated constantly. He wants you to wake up in a bad mood. He wants you to be riled up, upset about everything, saying things like, it's just my luck. It's just that must be how God created me to just barely get by, or just come up to the fence of the blessing but really couldn't receive it. I'm going to keep a good attitude though. Instead of really knowing who you are in Christ, because you are someone. You are a mighty woman of God. You are a mighty, mighty man of God. If you would just be convinced and have confidence of who you truly are in Christ, you are a king's kid, man. It's time we rise up as a church and find out who we are in Christ Jesus. And then if enough of us will, we can get prayer back in school and all the junk out. We can get that Bible back in school, all right? But look, with all blessing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing, here it is again that God's continuing to say to us this morning is probably where this is headed. Increasing in the knowledge of God. In the Amplified it says, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition of God. Verse 11, strengthened. All right, what does the devil try to do in our lives a lot? He tries to steal our strength, right? He don't want you to remain in joy. Because if he gets your strength, joy, you'll lose your strength. He wants you weak. But that's why the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. When you feel weak in an area of your life, whatever it might be, when you feel weak in that area, then you need some strength. Now, if you got some people that are praying for you, man, you'll get that strength, woo, Jesus, so that you can withstand. Remember when the word says, when you've done everything you can do to stand. So the devil's going to try to defeat you, and you might be weak in one little area of your life. But when you say with your mouth, the power that comes out of your mouth is very important, right? When you say, no, I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord. I am strong in this area of my life. That one little area where I just, that person rubs me the wrong way. It's kind of like when I got this fingernail. Did y'all see my fingernail? Everybody thought I painted my fingernail. I'm not like that. I don't do that. But, ooh, Jesus. I was at the barn. I was taking off a halter. And this halter has a little ring on this side. And it comes down and fastens. You know, those kind of halters on a horse. And it was Seth's horse. And I was putting him away in the end stall at London's house. And I just undid the halter, and that hook was right there. And this horse just wheeled around to want to get away, and that hook went right under. I thought it pulled off my finger. And that's how it felt. And inside I cried. Tried to be tough, you know, like cowboy. And I mean, see that old man. And everybody confessed that the nail would probably come off. But right then, I could have done a few things. I could have cussed. Do y'all really think that preachers don't cuss sometimes? I don't. I'm just never been a cusser. But I'm honest. I wanted to. I wanted just to say ouch in a different way. Being real. But I handled it. You know what I did instead? I said, well, Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray over this thumb. And I thank you, Lord, that this thumb will stop throbbing at any minute. In the name of Jesus. And let me tell you something else that works besides prayer. Now, prayer works the best. Advil. Give me. Okay. Y'all thought you was going to get some major revelation right there, didn't you? You hear we're seeking some revelation. No, Advil. I mean, it helped this time. So, all right, look at this, though. Verse 11. We might stop right here. And I'm going to keep preaching in this until the Lord says not to. Not today, but next week and the next week when I'm here. That we're strengthened, verse 11, with all might according to His glorious power. Okay, look at me, y'all. There again. Come on, class. We got to get this stuff. Do you know how much power, not Batman power of God that you have at your disposal? The power of God is on the inside of you that can declare things, that can speak to the mountains of your life. Remember, command those mountains. See, when you have power, that's what you do. You don't say, oh, please, Lord, please, 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 Lord, help me. Help me, sir, this is hurting. No, when you got the true power and you know it, what do? Devil, you get your hands off of me and get back under my feet in Jesus' name. Now, then the devil's going to bring to a lot of people's minds the sin that they did back when. Oh, you're not worthy. You don't know Scripture. You haven't prayed much. It doesn't matter, y'all. If you know and have confidence of the power that you have at your disposal, is when you speak to that mountain of financial issues, you speak to that mountain of marriage issues, you speak to that mountain with health issues, you speak to the mountain that is trying to run you down, and you command that mountain with authority, y'all. You command it. I command it in Jesus' name. You command it to be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but just believe. Believe the things that you say out of your mouth, that it's going to come to pass. That's what I said about this thumb. That nail, I will not lose this nail in Jesus' name. And praise God I have it. And it don't hurt even anymore. You see that? But when you know the power, look at this. When you're strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all what? Patience. Man, that's the key, y'all. We just need patience. Allow the word to work. Now, I preach and I believe in now faith, Hebrews 11:1, right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe in now. I believe in things happening now. Manifestations come now. And they have in my life. I mean, there's things that were attacking me and I prayed over. And, I mean, things happened now. But then other times, it took a little bit. It took God weeding out some things that I didn't even know that was in my belief system. The very seeds that were deep in the ground that I needed to uproot in my belief system. Something that I might have confessed and spoke back when it was in the religious churches. And there was a time of pruning, possibly, that I just need to prune some things out of my life so that manifestation could come. It wasn't that God didn't want to do it, but a lot of times we need to just have patience to let the Word work. I mean, it might be your belief system. How many times have we been believing for something, and then when it didn't happen immediately, we then confess out loud, well, it must not be God's will. I mean, I've kind of been contemplating that in my life about steer roping, and am I still called out there to minister to those cowboys because no one else will? And I'm thinking, well, when I'm not winning and it's frustrating and it's humbling and it gets your man worked up. I mean, because losing is not fun. Would y'all agree with that? And so then the thoughts come into my mind, well, is it time to be in a different area, sir? I know I'm supposed to be the pastor of this church, but am I supposed to be out there? And I mean the thoughts of, you know, yeah, maybe your season is over. And then I back up and I want to listen. Because, see, then I have to have patience to... I mean, even services that we do, I'm already thinking about, are we supposed to be doing that service? Going to the national finals in Las Vegas is something that everybody, every minister wants to do because that's the largest rodeo of the year. And I didn't seek out to do a service at Las Vegas, Nevada during the national finals rodeo. They came to this church and saw me preach and asked me to come and minister at the Mandalay Bay Casino. Okay, but I've been doing it for a long period of time. Am I still supposed to do that? You see, the point here is that we need to gain patience and allow the Word of God to work. We need to quiet down sometimes so that we can hear God's voice. I need to know revelation. I need to know wisdom. I need to hear from God in some areas. But so do you. So do you. In whatever area it might be, and it might be all of them. From your job, what you're supposed to do in life, a ministry, blessing someone. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. But the point is that we're strengthened with all might. No, we're not backing away and going back to the days of Babylon. We're not going back to the days of unbelief. We're not going back to the days of before we gave our life to Jesus. No, we're pressing forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. We're going to remain in Christ Jesus no matter if this hell world goes that direction. No matter how bad it gets out there, you know what? With being strengthened with God's power, we're covered by the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, even though we will see it with our eyes, we don't have to participate in the economy of this world. I mean, the world says we're going through a recession. I mean, has anybody bought eggs lately? Have you bought meat lately? Have you filled up your trucks? Because I could fill up my truck for about $250, the front and the back tank, and now it's a good $400. Every time. And then you got to put that stupid DEF in there, in a diesel. Y'all might not, it's exhaust fluid. They just another way. Why? Why? More money? Okay, if my eyes going to get on that, or am I going to stay hooked with my provider? And I just tell you again, I told you last week, I have prospered more in the last 3 years in ministry and in personal, in our personal lives than any other time. And I'm not a preacher that begs for money. I used to be on television. There was 40 million people would listen to a broadcast that I did in Lubbock, Texas years ago, about 20, 25 years ago. I wasn't ever on that radio station saying, if you don't give to me, I might have to go off the air. Those preachers that do that, I say, get them off. Go off. Why don't you trust God? You see. Okay. All right. 11:45. All right, let me just end with this last little bit of this of 11 here. All right, so we've got the glorious power of God, who we are in Christ. We have patience, long-suffering, with what? With joy, joyfulness. Again, I understand the Bible. It's not hard to understand for me. You know why? Because I've lived by what I'm fixing to tell you. This is what I lived by. Now, see, that mama right there has a decision to make. She's either going to go kill the kid, because all of us have been there with our children, right? I live by what I'm fixing to tell you that has helped me, and then it's enabled me to teach how to actually understand the Bible. It starts helping you understand that when you give your life to Jesus, you're a son. You have a father in heaven. Now, you have an earthly father and mom, possibly, unless they're in heaven or they wasn't a part of your life. I mean, we've seen it all, right? And you got a father, man. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. What I'm fixing to tell you is how, and I've said it in this church many times, this is how I understand and live by the Word of God. Two things. Ready? God is good, and the devil is bad. God is good. Everything in that Bible that is good, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, health, prosperity, all the good things that are in that Bible, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good, God is, say it with me, good. But then the devil is bad. Okay? Anything bad that the Bible even talks about, not that the Bible's bad, but like sickness, disease, cancer, anything bad, there's a devil. Okay? God is good. The devil is bad. If you understand those two things, you'll understand the Bible. So God's wanting you to be blessed. Don't y'all think that's good? Okay? The devil, on the other side of it, wants you to be greedy. Do you think that's good? No. Okay, that's how you really start understanding the Word of God. It starts helping you understand who you are in Christ. God is good. He wants you to have a great marriage, successful, prosperous, full of joy. He wants you to have bodies that are not sick. He wants you to have healthy bodies, walking in divine health, praise God. That's good, right? God wants you to be the head and not a tail. He wants you to be above things, not underneath them. You know, religious people say, yeah, but you got to go to the bottom so you'll finally look up. No, 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 you need to be on top and not go to the bottom. No, use the Word of God and find out who you are in Christ Jesus so that you don't have to go through the trials and tribulations and stay in them. Nope, you'll just get on through them, get on through them, go on through them, walk through them. It's not going to make me upset. That's why I told that cowboy, look, how you handle this situation right now is how things are going to be blessed for you in the future. Don't you lose it right here. you stay hooked with the Word of God. Now, I didn't tell him in that detail, but he knew what I was saying. How you handle things now is how you're going to come out of them. And then he went and made a great run. But there's other Cowboys. And he won second in that go-around, and he needed to win first. I think he was 16th by about $600. But you know what? Is he going to lose it? Is he going to stop roping? Is he going to stop living? Is that going to be it? I didn't accomplish this. It must not be the will of God in my life. Or is he going to press forward? Is he going to be an overcomer? Is he going to get determined to say, watch next year, buddy? I mean, the kid's only 20 years old. He's not 53. But the point was made, you see. All right, let's end right there. You receive it by faith? Not very seldom do I get a teaching anointing on me. But hey, man, it's fun. Usually I'm spitting and getting y'all fired up. I mean, but there's a time when you settle down. Let's just preach the word. Amen. We got to get back to the basics. Love y'all very much, but do all of you know Jesus? If you left this earth and you stood before God like the Bible says, and all of us are going to do it one day. The Bible calls it the great judgment day. God's going to be there and you're going to be here. You've got to know what he's going to say. Young or old, you've got to know what is God going to say, the Father. Now, beside him, you've heard me say this, right here. Here's the Father. Jesus, the Son of God, is going to be right here. And he's going to have this big old book, man. This book called the Book of Life. Corey Ross is going to be standing there. And Jesus, oh yeah, Father, May the 10th, 1979, Corey gave his life to you, or he actually to me, Jesus. And his name is recorded here. The Father then is going to say, well done, Corey, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in. Heaven, enter the joy, the rest, R-E-S-T, of the Lord. Enter. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to briefly walk. I'm going to be running in there. There are going to be people trying to beat me in there, thanking God they made heaven. We're probably going to see people that we wouldn't have thought would made heaven, and they're going to be there. Well done. What is he going to say to you, though? I know most of you here are born again, but I would never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive the Son of God, Jesus. Is he your Lord? If he's not, pray this prayer with me. Believers are going to pray it with us as well. And we're going to ask Jesus to come in, because you will not go to heaven without the Son of God. That's what John 14 says. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me, believe also. And it just goes on and talks about your heart not being troubled. But then it talks about heaven, how Jesus has prepared a mansion. He says to doubting Thomas, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. Because Thomas, remember, that's why he's called Doubting Thomas. He said, Father, how do we know the way? Jesus, how do we know the way? And Jesus declared this, because I'm the truth, the life, I'm the only way. There's no other way to get to the Father in heaven but by me, Jesus. So when you stand before God without him, that's when God has to say, depart from me. Please don't choose that. Don't you dare choose that. If you're watching, don't you choose anything but Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning or you're watching, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to pray a prayer with all of us. And we're all going to pray it, even believers. We're going to pray it with you. But when you pray it out loud and you mean it. And ask Jesus to come into your life. I'll pray it. You just pray after me. But when I pray it, and then you pray it, mean what you pray. Because you're praying to the Father. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you out of your mouth to say this. I want you saved going to heaven. And this is the only way to do it. I want you to receive Jesus by praying this prayer. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And today, I'm saved. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I'm on this earth, I'm going to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you asked Jesus to come into your life, when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to just raise your hand up and say, Jesus, I prayed that prayer and I asked you into my life and I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. And then just put your hand down. That's all you're doing is you're acknowledging it before me and God. Then Jesus says, if you'll do that, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. In other words, don't be ashamed of Jesus being your Lord. If you just gave your life to Him, get that hand up and put it right back down when I say three. You just prayed that prayer and you meant it. You ready? If that was you, get that hand up. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. All right, look at me, y'all. If you raised your hand, it's an honor to be a brother or a sister, have you in my life. We're in the family of God. We need each other. Amen? Because, listen, we're going to need each other more in today's world than ever before. We've got to stay hooked with this word. It'll work for you. Don't you do the ways of the world. Don't say what they say. Say what God says. It's truth, and it'll make you free. Amen? Did you have a good time this morning? All right.